That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard. Lift a shout of praise. I sought the Lord. That's why I.
So, I just. I know you want me to preach. I get that, but I just. It's in moments like this that I remember. It's in moments like this that I remember where he found me. It's in moments like this that I remember where he came and picked me up when I couldn't pick myself up, when I was so lost and undone. Sean, before I knew I could seek the Lord, he was seeking after me. Before I went looking for him, he came looking for me. I wish I had somebody in there. Where's all the real people at in here that understand what I just said, that he came and found you? Come on, is there anybody in the room grateful today that before you started seeking him, he was already seeking you? Come on, before you started chasing after him, he was already chasing after you. Come on, where's all the real church at? Huh? Hey, hey, come on. Yeah, come on, come on. Hey.
And I heard, and I answered. That's why, that's why. The Lord sought for me. And I heard, and I answered. The Lord sought for me. And I heard, and I answered, the Lord sought for me, and I heard, and that's why I, that's why, oh yeah, the Lord sought for me, and I heard, oh, the Lord sought for me, the Lord sought for me, and that's why I, that's why.
So the only reason you're in this room today, the only reason you're able to praise him like you're able to today, is because he loved you enough to show up. Push somebody next to you and say, he showed up for me. Come on, touch three people around you. Tell them, he showed up for me. 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 He came and found me. When I was far away, he came and found me. Come on, when I was in a pig pen, he came and found me. When I had drugs in my arm, he came and found me. When I was drinking my troubles away, he came and found me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody praise him. Somebody bless the name of the Lord in this place. So just hang out with me for a minute, okay? Just hang out. I've just got one quick word for this church today. And I won't belabor it. I belabored it some in the first service. I won't belabor it in the second service because they tell me that you guys are the more spiritual ones. You get on to things quicker. You catch on quick. And I don't have to work as hard. So we're gonna keep, let's just stay right here where we are. Let's just stay right here where we are, Angel. I like the vibe you got going on. Here's what I'm gonna tell you. We're in a series called Double. And I preached last week about double blessings, double breakthrough, double miracles, double anointing. And I love that. But let me tell you what happened to me this week, where this message came from, the origin of why I'm going to say what I'm going to say today. God spoke very clearly, especially in our 9 o'clock service, and said, tell the church that they're moving into a double harvest. Double harvest. We're moving into double harvest. Here's what happened. I was getting ready. Wasn't thinking about a sermon. I wasn't thinking about preaching. I think it was either Monday night. I might have been getting ready to come to a meeting on Monday night, a leadership meeting. And I wasn't thinking about anything to do with preaching. I wasn't thinking anything to do with all of that. And I was just getting ready. And I had one of those moments where, you know, you feel good. You ever have moments where you're just really feeling good? Like, man, God is so pleased and God is so happy. And I'm trucking along and I'm thinking, Eric, God just loves me. And then God visits you and he punches you in the stomach. Kenny, ever been gut punched by God? Not a great experience. Now, I don't know how God talks to you, Noriel. He's probably very sweet and very gentle with you. He probably speaks in the King James language to you. That is not how God talks to me. God talks to me differently. I'm feeling good. We went to double services last Sunday. We had, our crowd last Sunday was one of the biggest crowds we've had since Easter. Yeah, we celebrate. Jen, I feel good. Chairs are getting packed. People are showing. Look at all the people in the seats. Oh, how good is that? Not just one service, but two services. People, the seats are being filled up. And God said, you are good at celebrating when the seats are full, but do you weep over the ones that are still empty? I sought the Lord, and he answered. He said, it's good. It's good that you're multiplying. It's good that the people are coming. It's good that the seats are being filled. But don't you get ahead of yourself and just count the ones that are full. You better cry over the ones that are empty still. Because every empty seat in this building represents a prodigal son that needs to come home. Every empty seat in this building represents a prodigal daughter that needs to come home. Every seat empty in this building represents a marriage that is teetering and on the brink of breakup that needs to be here. Every empty seat in this building is another person that needs to be healed in their body, needs to be set free and delivered. It's a seat that another drug addict or alcoholic could sit in to hear this message preached, to sense the presence of God and to be loosed and set free in this place. So, while I'm all about celebration, let's not get so caught up on counting who's here that we quit weeping over who's not. And I'm calling Riverside Church back into a posture of weeping over the ones that aren't here. Weep over the empty seats, because the empty seats are prophesying to us. A prodigal son needs to be here and a daughter needs to be here. The empty seats are preaching to us. We celebrate the fullness of the church. And Jesus is saying, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white and ready for harvest. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't even scratched the surface of what God wants to accomplish or what God wants to do in this place. All we're doing is making room for a harvest that's getting ready to come into this place, because I believe that God found a people on the earth in Harford County that said yes to the harvest and yes to Jesus and yes to reaping a harvest and bringing them in. So, celebrate that he showed up for you. But hear the mandate and the urgency in my voice. You need to show up for them. Come on. He showed up for you. You've got to show up for them. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Let the church say 9:38. Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white and ready for harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the fields or into the harvest. Let the church say 9:38. Here's what I want you to do for this whole entire week. Get your phone, set an alarm for 9:38. Set your alarm 9:38. 9:38 a.m. and 9:38 p.m. Hold up two. Let the church say double. There's two 9:38, 9:38 in the morning, 9:38 in the evening. You know what you and I are going to do at 9:38 in the morning and 9:38 in the evening when that alarm goes off? We are going to start praying. We're going to pray for not one, but two. Two people that we know God that should be in church. Two people that needs to come home to Jesus. Two people that need to be saved. Two, listen to me. The minute I said that, somebody said, I'm thinking of two people, but they're too far gone. No, they're not. No, they're not. Listen, you're good at writing people off when God's trying to write people in. He's trying to write names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you keep writing people off the Lamb's Book of Life. 9:38 in the morning, 9:38 in the evening, set your alarm. When it goes off, I don't care what you're doing, where you are, you start praying, God, I pray for so-and-so, and I pray for so-and-so. God, that you save them, that you redeem them, that you reclaim them, that you go after them. Pray that their blinded eyes be open. Rebuke the work of the enemy that's over their life. Bind the work of the enemy over their lives. Whatsoever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever I loose in the earth shall be loosed in the heaven. I bind the work of the enemy over every soul that's supposed to be at Riverside Church. I bind the work of the enemy that's put blinders on eyes. I bind the work of that lying spirit that told them they were too far gone. And I loose salvation. I loose breakthrough. I loose redemption in this place. 9:38. 9:38. Check this out. every day this week at 9:38, you and everybody in this church is going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be praying for those people that God has laid on our hearts. Not one, but two. Let the church say two. Let's double it up. Do you know it is statistically proven that more people would come to church? They did a poll on this. More people would come to church if you would just invite them. All they're waiting for is an invitation. That's it. There was a Baptist preacher back in the day named Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This man had a heart for the kingdom. He had a heart for souls. And in one of his sermons, he preached this. He said, "If the sinners be damned, then let them leap over our bodies to get into hell. If hell must be full, then let them go there with our arms wrapped around their knees, begging and pleading with them not to go." What would happen if the church adopted that philosophy and that mentality? What if we were baptized in the spirit of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that this week when that clock went off at 9:38 in the morning and 9:38 in the evening, that we said, if hell is going to be full and if sinners are going to be damned, then they are going to have to leap over my prayers. They're going to have to leap over my body. They're going to have to break out of my grasp, because I know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I know I don't want anyone to experience torment and separation from God. And I'll do whatever is necessary. If it's praying twice a day for them, if it's picking up the phone and calling them, if it's, where you at, Johnny Osborne? If it's sending a text, where's he at? Johnny, all the way in the back. Do you guys know who John Osborne is? That's Tina's brother. That's my brother-in-law. Check this out. Where's Tracy? Where is Tracy in here too? I saw her. There's Tracy. Hey, baby. That's my sister-in-law. I got more family coming to the church. And when you come to Riverside Church and you're related to us, we put you to work. They got to come a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden he's doing security and she's in children's ministry. We don't even give them a chance around here. We need help. For 31 years, I was married to his sister. 31 years, I've been married to his sister. In 31 years, I do not remember, Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, but in 31 years, I've never seen you come to one of my church services. I've been pastoring for 21 years. I've never seen him come to a church service. He started coming about 8 weeks ago? About 2 months ago, he started coming. Do you know how he ended up here? Let me tell you how he ended up here. Tina was here at the office. We were working. We were doing stuff. You were back there by yourself. And the Lord spoke to your heart and nudged you. Text your brother. What's wild about that is Tina hasn't talked to Johnny up to this point in a few years. Now, they didn't hate each other. We were just busy doing our thing. He was busy doing his things. Life happens. And there was just a separation. And she hadn't talked to him in years. And all of a sudden, she felt a nudge to send him a text. And it was a simple text. I think the text was, you were just inviting him to church. You weren't inviting him out to eat. You weren't inviting him for prayer. You just said, hey, do you want to come to church? Is that right, Johnny? Help me out, brother. Yeah. Here's what's wild. Now, Tina, God spoke to Tina, send him a text. What Tina didn't know was that God was not only speaking to her, but God was back there doing something in his life. I love Johnny. Now, Johnny, you don't mind me telling this, I'm sure. Johnny didn't grow up in church. Johnny is not a church person. Johnny's not a church. He is now, but he wasn't then. Johnny was at home. And I'll show you how unsaved he was and how backslidden and how lost he was. Let me just show you. Let me demonstrate. I want to show Tracy, back me up, baby. I want to show you how lost Johnny was. You know what Johnny was doing? Johnny was watching a John Wayne show, a 24-hour John Wayne TV station. How depraved do you have to be? And how... I'm teasing, man. I'm teasing you. Like, two thoughts on that. Number one, why? Why is there a channel dedicated to John Wayne that's 24/7? Why is that? And two, why is Johnny watching a channel dedicated to... CJ's over here going, I don't even know who John Wayne is. brother, I don't even know who John Wayne is. I'm not as old as Johnny. Here's the thing. On this 24-hour, 7-day-a-week John Wayne broadcast, just all John Wayne movies, old movies that he had made, they just played them 24 hours a day. When he got the text from Tina about coming to church on TV, it was on the John Wayne channel. It wasn't a John Wayne movie. It was a movie about Jesus. And he's sitting there watching a movie about, why am I watching Jesus when I'm supposed to be watching John Wayne? And then a text comes through, his sister that he hasn't talked to in years saying, would you come to church? He hits her back and says, yes, I'll come to church because some weird things have been happening in my life concerning God. God was already at work in his life. She didn't know it. She was just being obedient. A little invitation, a simple little text. Do you want to come to church? And now Johnny and Tracy, and who do you have there, Tracy? Who is that with you? Clover. And Clover, been coming for about 2 months now. Johnny told me Friday night, I said, did you ever think that you would ever be in church? He said, if you came to me a year ago and said I would be going to church, I'd have laughed. And if you told me I would be serving in a church, I would have laughed you off the planet. I sought the Lord, and he heard. And he answered. That's why I trust in him. That's why I trust in him. That's why I trust in him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. So we went to double services. We had to make room. We had to make room for people so that when they came in, they'd have a place to sit. They would feel accepted. They would feel welcome. They would feel wanted. You know, we're big on hospitality here. Do you know why we do hospitality? We do hospitality because at the end of the day, when people come to Riverside Church, I want them to feel like they belong. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how they walk, how they talk, how they act. I don't care that they sneak around the corner of the building and smoke a cigarette. Do you know how I know that? Because I started parking over there, and I got to walk over cigarettes to get to my truck. And there was a day in my life where I would have looked at that, and I would have went, ugh. And now when I look at it, I just smile. And I say, praise God. I'm so glad that they can come here and be a part of what God is doing at Riverside Church. See, you know what we need? A lot of people think to do ministry, they have to have a platform. You don't need a platform. You need a plow. You think to do ministry, you have to have an applause. You don't need an applause. You need an anointing. I wish I had somebody to help me in here. We are on a mission, and we have a mandate from God. And the mission and the mandate has not changed in over 2,000 years. Go ye therefore into the nations. We're supposed to go into the highways and the hedges. We're supposed to compel them to come. We haven't done a look at your neighbor yet, but let's do this. You're going to really enjoy this one. Look at your neighbor and ask him, who did you invite to church today? Ooh, got real, didn't it? Got real, real fast. Ho, ho. Let's go back to singing. That was much better. No, who did you invite? Because you know what we do? We say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus, and I love people. Do you love the Lord enough to do what he called you to do, though? Do you love people enough? Let me ask you this. Do you still believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Do you still believe that eternity is real? Because if you did, then every time you come in here and sit on a row and look down and there's an empty seat, let's let that break our hearts. before we start counting the faces and celebrating all the people that are here, find the empty seat and let that break your heart and say, somebody needs to be there next week. Lord, who can I pray into that chair? Who can I pray into that seat? Who can I invite to sit there to get the miracle that I got, the breakthrough that I got, the deliverance that I got, the answered prayer that I was able to get? If we love God like we say we do, and I believe that you do, there are people in your life right now, this very moment, if you don't intercede for them, if you don't pray for them, nobody else is. Nobody else is interceding for them. If you don't make the effort, if you don't make the start the prayer, if you don't do the inviting, they might miss eternity. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven, Brother Mike, and stand in front of God and say, look at all that I was able to do. Look at all the people. Look at all the ones you missed. See, we serve a king who wants multiplication. He's not a king that's looking for subtraction. I don't even think he's looking for addition. He's looking for multiplication. Just read the parable of the talents. To some he gave five, to some he gave two, to one he gave one. Multiply that. We are in the business of multiplication. Don't look at the pastor and say, well, isn't that your job? I'm glad you brought that up. Let me tell you what my job is, according to Scripture. My job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's my job. My job is to equip you, to motivate you, and to inspire you, and to get you to look around the room. Celebrate the ones that are here, but weep over the ones that are not. That's the word of the Lord for us today. We are moving into a season of double harvest. Double harvest. Double harvest. I am convinced from this day until Christmas, from this day until we celebrate Christmas, that there will be people that will come in. We will give altar calls for salvation and rededication. And I am convinced that people will run to, I prophesy, people will run to these altars. I prophesy. I wasn't going to tell you guys because you slept in. I told my 9 o'clock people because they're the early risers. And I told the 9 o'clock people not to tell the 11 o'clock people. But since you're here, I'm going to tell you anyway. Next March, I'm preaching a sermon series called Until This House Is Full. And I was going to release my new missional tagline for Riverside Church. But since you're here, and I already told the 9 o'clock people, and I said I wasn't going to tell you all, but now I am. I'm going to tell you all. This is what I feel like our new mission. And I don't know how we can do this if we got painters. Nelson, where are you at? Nelson can paint. I would love for when every time we walk into that door, it's painted across that wall in big letters, and it says, until Jesus is known everywhere. Until Jesus is known everywhere. Mike Flaherty, I'll stop praying until Jesus is known everywhere. Tish, I'll stop preaching until Jesus is known everywhere. You can stop singing until Jesus is known everywhere. Come on. Come on. Come on. Until Jesus is known everywhere. We're on a mission. We don't stop. We don't quit. We don't back off. We don't back up until Jesus is known everywhere. Because there's a world out there. Listen, I've just found this. I'm going to tell you how depraved this world is. There are people out there watching John Wayne 24 hours a day. How lost are you? Love you, brother. Let me tell you about Johnny. Johnny has a, he's one of the funnier dudes I know. He's hilarious. I remember when I first met Tina and I met him, I thought, good God, this guy is wild. He has a great sense of humor. So I know I'm picking on him, but trust me, he doles it out pretty good. Do you know why I'm wearing this jacket today? This very masculine camouflage jacket. Do you know why you know why I'm wearing this today? Because last Sunday, I wore a sweater. It's a knitted sweater. Wore kind of like this. Had a blue collar. And I went over to my brother-in-law, Johnny. I said, hey, man, what do you think of this sweater? He goes, You know, when I saw you up there, I was thinking you were going to tell me where my college dorms were. It's pretty much the nerdiest thing I think I've ever seen. You look like a prep. Thank you, Johnny. Went home, took the sweater off, gave it to Tina. Said, you can throw that thing in the trash can. I will never wear that again. I went to the store, Jim Bunny. You can ask Tina if I'm lying, I'm crying. I ain't shedding a tear. I said, I want the most masculine jacket. Here you go, Johnny. Eat your heart out, baby.
That is a nice jacket.
Thank you. Y'all can thank Johnny for this jacket.
Thank you, Johnny.
Here's what I want to tell you. How many more Johnnies and Tracys are out there waiting for you to shoot a text to them saying, hey, would you come to church with me? You've written people off and God's trying to write them in. They're not so far gone and so far away and so far off that they can't find Jesus or Jesus can't find them. All they're waiting for from you is just an invitation. So now turn to your neighbor and ask him, who are you going to invite next week? Who are you going to invite? Two. Double. Double. There's two people you're going to. Listen, pray for them at 9:38 in the morning, 9:38. Two people, pray for them twice a day, every day this week. And then on the weekend, text them or call them and say, I want you to come to church with me. And then you go out there and wait for them to pull up. And when they pull up, you come in and sit with them. And then you watch God do what God's going to do in their You watch God do what God's going to do in their lives. You watch him. You watch him. You watch him. You hear me today? That's all I have for you. God bless you. Thank you all so much for being here. You guys are absolutely amazing. I'm grateful for you. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. You guys are absolutely amazing. I love you and I bless you. Let's all stand at our feet one more time before we get out of here. Let me just tell you how blessed we are, how privileged I am, how much I love you, your enthusiasm, your excitement, what God's doing in this place and what God's doing in your lives. We are in a season of double. Let the church say double. Tell everybody on your row, I'm in a season of double. Just tell them, I'm in a season of double. Double, 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 double for my trouble. Double. You're in a season of double. And I can't wait to come back here next week and see what God's got in store for us. Double. Double. I love it. And I love you all. Thank you guys again so much for being here. Father, I pray for every man, woman, child, and young person under the sound of my voice this morning. And I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts this week. God, I pray that you would lay at least two names on their hearts of people that you need them to pray for. God, people that you're trying to reach, people that you have been already dealing with their hearts, God. You've already softened the ground. You've already broke up the fallow ground of their heart, God, and you've already been dealing with them. And I pray, God, lay two names on our hearts so that this week we pray for them, and by the end of the week we contact them and we invite them to church. And when they come, God, and they will, my prayer is, God, that you would meet them in this place, that you would arrest their hearts and their attention, that I would deliver a word from you, God, that would convict, that would speak, that would compel, that would woo, and that would draw them. And that before tomorrow, next Sunday is over, they'll have an opportunity to come and meet you at this altar and encounter you just like all of us have had. A moment, a moment, a moment that changes our lives forever. A moment where we are transformed and the course of our lives are changed forever. A moment, God. Let them encounter you in this place, I pray. Yes, Lord, the fields are wide and ready for harvest. We lift up our eyes and we look and we pray. Send us, God. Like Isaiah the prophet, here am I, send me, God. Because if they're going to go to hell, let them go to hell jumping over my body, jumping over my prayer. If they're going to depart and if hell's got to be filled up, God, let it be filled up with people, but let me grab a hold of their knees and not let them go. If they got to go, let them have to fight me to get to there, God. Let them fight this church to get there, God. Let us stand in the gap. Let us stand in the way of them, God, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you, Riverside Church. I love you all. Be blessed. May God continue to make his face to shine down on you. I bless you. I honor you. I appreciate you and I love you. Have a blessed and wonderful, restful day today. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Take care.